Hey, well, it's so great to be with you guys today. I'm Michael, and I'm one of the pastors here, and it is a joy to get to close off the series of the I Ams from the book of John, and I get to do I Am the Vine. When I was in Toronto, I was a youth leader, and me and another youth leader were, we had seven kids, and we were taking them just to like a museum in the city. And we were coming back from the museum, and we were taking public transit, okay? So you're already working at, like, shuffling along these kids. And these seven kids, they were giggling, they were scheming up something, but you never thought much of it. So we're on public transit in the city of Toronto in the subway, okay? Everybody gets off, and me, as being the leader, I get off last to make sure that they all go off. And this, the subway system in Toronto, I think it's the same sound everywhere. I'm not completely certain. But it goes ding, 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 and then the doors close. Well, one of the boys decided to jump back into the train as the doors went ding, and it closed. And he locked himself in there. And he stared at me going, what have I done? And I looked at him outside the train going, what have you done? At the stop that we had all gotten off at. And at that point, the train started taking off. So I ran upstairs. The other leader stayed with the kids. I ran upstairs and ran to the next subway station, hoping to catch this kid. Got there, kid's not there. I go to the other side that would then go southbound, like a north southbound, and then I'm waiting to see if he comes. Next thing I know, no kid. He's still not there. I wait two more trains, go back to the station where I was. And I get off, and I just wait to see. And at this point, I'm going to have to talk to the parent. I get back on the train. Sure enough, there the kid is. He's sitting in this train. Three trains go by. I'm so thankful. But I just looked at the kid, and I didn't have much joy in my heart at that moment. But I looked at him and said, if you just had remained with us, it all would have been good. If you just had remained. As we look today and what it means to be in the vine, I think of that story. We need to remain connected to the vine. We are branches. He is the vine. This is what Jesus tells us. This is John 15. I am the vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will bear even more fruit. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me, you are like a branch. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. And such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you would bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As my Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that you may have joy, or so that your joy may be... Sorry about that. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Beautiful passage of what Jesus is telling us. Here's his I Am. He is calling himself the source of life. You know, what are you looking for in life? And where are you looking to find it? Do you know what you're looking for? Do you know where you'll find satisfaction, purpose, inner peace, source of rejuvenation, character development, furthering of ourselves? Jesus is saying this very clearly to us in this passage. All those answers, or all those questions, are answered in Jesus. In who Jesus is saying he is. He is all of those things to us. Everything of the Christian faith and all of our character development of where we believe we're going to find life hinges on Jesus and who he said he is. From my salvation, so my relationship made right with God, Jesus is saying, I am the vine. I am the connection of how the Heavenly Father sees you. You are the branch. We are the branch. Those who are in Jesus, we're just connected to him. from my supply, the strength of life, the rejuvenation is found in Him. The source of new life, the ability to actually produce fruit, meaning things that are going to come from my life, are going to be all founded in being connected to the vine. So if I were to put it this way, Jesus is the vine. Abide in Him to stay alive and to thrive. It's found in just being connected. The word that I think of is intimacy. Be intimate with Jesus. I am the vine. And me as a branch, my job is really to just be connected. And when I'm connected, then comes the fruit, is by being like that. So what kind of fruit can I kind of expect from my life? Well, if you were to open to Galatians 5, 22 and 23, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. So what do we gain from having the Spirit of God in me and I being connected to Jesus? Here's what fruit will begin to produce. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. These are the fruit of the Spirit, of what comes from being connected. This is the fruit that I can be expected to produce as the Spirit. It's not fruits, it's fruit, individual. One fruit that comes. And earlier, I was really talking with some of the other pastors here, and we were saying, well, is that the only kind of fruit that can come? And as you actually look at people who live a life connected to Christ, what more did we see from them? Well, we see also the kind of fruit that was produced in their life is also great faith. You know, the guys who, if you look at the book of Acts, what came from their relationship with God? Well, you see a kind of boldness, a great faith, a confidence that was in Christ, in a life that was filled with also bringing life. These people who spent their time in intimacy with God had the fruit of the Spirit, but also these other kinds of things that just revealed in their life. Greater faith, a greater boldness, a greater confidence in who Christ is. How is it all found? Being intimate with Jesus. But that's the fruit of what we can expect to see if we get more intimate with Jesus. And guys, today, I don't think I have a very difficult sermon in the sense of, I don't think I'm going to blow your mind with any crazy points, but a real call to challenge you, how intimate are you being these days with Jesus? Are you spending a lot of time with Him or a little bit of time? Are you lacking the fruit of the Spirit? The only question I would have for you is, how much time do you actually spend in the secret place between you and Jesus? Because here, God is making it very clear. Jesus rephrases more than seven times, remain in me. Do you know what I find funny in my life? Is when I actually think about something going wrong and I need to fix it, I end up doing more. I end up, I'll do more meetings with people. If youth was doing poorly, I would work on running more programs. I would work on setting up more get-togethers with leaders to do to see if that had fixed him. What Jesus is saying here, no. The starting thing is actually intimacy. And when we think about our personal lives, when something's wrong, you know, sometimes we just go, I'm just going to will myself to do it. I'm just going to try harder. And Jesus, I think, just knows. That's our natural tendency. And what he's saying is, actually, could you just start with spending time with me? He says here, remain in me and I also in you. Remain in me and I in you, and you will bear much fruit. And then in verse 7, it says again, if you remain in me and my word remains in you. And then in verse 10, it says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father, kept in my Father's. Now remain in his love. How many times does Jesus need to say it for us to get the point across? Because it's just simple. It's the intimacy with Jesus that's going to make the difference. But we have an ability to fill our time potentially with things that are going to pull us away from that. Like, if we really think Jesus is going to be the source of furthering myself, how is it that we can fill our schedule with so many things that don't do that? You know, I think that these things are good, but really, they don't make me produce more love. They don't make me produce more of the fruit of the Spirit. It doesn't advance God's kingdom, but we can fill our schedule so full of things that we think are really, really good. But if you're like me, sometimes you find you complete your summer schedule and all you're excited for is the schedule set for the rest of the year, because you just spent your whole summer doing stuff that felt more draining than life-giving, except we all look forward to summer because we're like, it's going to be so life-giving. We come to the end, we're like, oh, I'm so dead. But I sometimes wonder if that's because we throw out of rhythm the seeking of the intimacy with Jesus. Like, we take off on weekends, and so we don't attend church anywhere. We don't intentionally seek the presence of Christ. And guys, I'm not here to throw stones at anybody, because I actually find that I'm an offender of this. I'm an offender of sacrificing times of intimacy. And I think one of the main ways we actually do that is with the Sabbath. You know, it's really interesting to me that God made it a commandment to His people. Keep the Sabbath. I bet if we were to ask a non-Christian or a brand new believer, if you were to look at your Christian friends, what does Sabbath look like? What would they say? If they looked at your life and asked and answered what the Sabbath is by looking at your life, what would they think it is? And I think we have to get back to truly getting intimate with a day in the week with Jesus, where we just fill our plates full of doing things that bring life to us rather than deplete us. 6 days we're called to serve. 7th day we're just really called to get intimate with God. And I personally battle with this. Like, I don't exactly know what it's supposed to look like, but I know we're supposed to do it. And I think about it like this. Every single day I need nutrition to survive. So every day, if I were to put this in the idea of the spiritual, I get a spiritual portion every day. My intimate time gives me the strength. It's the source that I need to live as Christ has called me to. And every day I get a little bit of that. And once a week I'm supposed to have a Sabbath, which is supposed to be a plate full of nutritious things. But often what we do is we fill that day full. Sometimes we actually keep that day, you know, free of work and all those things, but we fill it with rice. And all of a sudden I come halfway through my week, I'm going, I'm depleted. But on the day that God's asking us to fill our plate full of nutrition, it's empty. Or it's empty carbs. We got to fill that plate full of nutrition, things that are going to help us thrive. It's all about being intimate with Jesus. And our thriving isn't found in the doing of the more. It's found in just the being with. Then the fruit comes. I find it funny, even as we think on that, because I just want to keep emphasizing the importance of intimacy. When I think about some of our battles in our Christian walk, you know, we can religify, or we can make schedules even out of things, or make much of obedience, but make very little of intimacy. However, what God's telling us here is obedience doesn't lead to the intimacy. It's intimacy leads to obedience. And here's my best way to think about it is marriage. When I think about my relationship with Jordan, she's taught me a couple things about how to be a good husband. Small little house chore things, you know. Like, you don't, like, I like multiple water cups on the go. Putting them away, you know, put them back. And if you can, only use one. Or in the bathroom, you know, Michael, towels don't belong on the floor. They belong on hangers. And when you hang them, could you properly do a threefold? Put it back over the thing. Okay. If I love Jordan, I do those things. But I don't go, I'm going to fold this towel because it's going to make me love Jordan so much. I don't just fold a towel, put it over the hanger and go, oh, I'm just falling in love with Jordan right now. No. I do that because I love Jordan and I have an intimate relationship with her. So obedience is followed by intimacy. It comes that way. We don't want to come to Jesus. We don't need to get cleaned up, then come to Jesus. Jesus is saying, come to us, then He'll clean us up. We got to remember the order of how things work. It's the spending time with Jesus that it makes the difference. Intimacy. So even when I think about obedience, first think about the intimacy, getting into a special place with Jesus. And if all of what we've talked about so far feels so far off, I just challenge, start here. Because Jesus is simply saying to us, this is who you are. Those who are in Christ, you're a branch off the vine. A branch doesn't have to think about being branchy. It doesn't have to think about doing branchy things. What it has to do is just stay connected and remain in the vine. How much time do we spend realizing that's where all of our source of strength comes from, where everything that I can possibly produce comes from? It's directly there. Because it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And if you think about that, remain in me, that's the call. And then it says, and apart from me, you can do nothing. When I think about furthering my character, when I think about building things that will produce life, you know, great things, things that aren't bad, you know, non-Christians can have good character. But from what I can tell, Jesus is saying character and things that will last can only be found in being with Jesus, in intimacy with Jesus, and it coming from Him. Not from us, from Him. Because we were born into this broken world. We're part of the brokenness. And so for us to truly have life, it has to come from somewhere else. And Jesus is saying, I am that. Me and the gardener do that. So apart from Him, we can't produce the fruit that we're hoping, including our character. All of these things. The stuff that will last is found in Jesus and being connected to Him and allowing Him to do it through us. So here, I want us to pause and hear this one verse. This is what it says. It says, we read this whole thing, but it really is about remaining. And here's the second part that's really hard, that is a battle internally for me. It says, I am the vine, the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that does not bear fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so it'll even produce more. Pruning is a hard process. Pruning to me is the idea of cutting back and is a type of suffering that we will go through in being attached to the vine. Because the farmer, who's the gardener, comes along and goes, I can see that this branch could produce more life. Our lives can produce more character. We can have greater faith. We can have greater joy. We can have greater love. But what's got to happen is I've got to cut a couple things out. When we all look at our lives, I think we can all see there's certain edges that could go. And sometimes you're like me, pray, Jesus, make me more like you. That's a super scary prayer. Because all of a sudden the gardener comes along and says, okay, here we go. We're going to begin to cut out a couple of things. You know, Michael, you were doing, you thought you were doing really good with your patience, but let's just examine your driving. I'm just going to allow a few drivers to be in front of you who are really going to slow you down. And all of a sudden I'm going, I'm struggling with patience. I thought I was always so good at patience. In the growing process, sometimes the only way we can know it needs to grow is when pressure is applied. How can I know that I need to work on love? Well, I need to be surrounded by people who are sometimes unlovable. And that's when this pruning process happens. I pray, God, make me more like you. And then He inserts into my life people who are going to push me, or situations that will cause me to completely be this one thing, remaining in the vine. And that's going to be the key the entire time. He prunes so that we can bear more fruit. And as I can become more aware of things that have to get cut out of my life, it isn't for me to then leave God or anything. He's saying, just come even closer to me. Spend more time with me as you get pruned. Because that's the connection that's got to happen. The pruning process is for Christ and for God. So that even in ourselves, we can look more like Jesus. But we become more capable of bearing more of the fruit of the things of Jesus. That's what happens as we get pruned. But it doesn't feel good. And the Father prunes us out of love. You know, in Hebrews 12, it talks about how a father disciplines a son. But it's to produce better character. Same in Deuteronomy 5:8. But it says that no discipline at the time is enjoyable. but it's necessary for the growth process. You know, my key is this. I'm to be intimate with Jesus. And as I'm intimate with Jesus and I get to know him more, the gardener comes along and he begins to prune so I can bear more of the things of Jesus. So that when people see me, they're going to go, what's different about you? And I get to go, well, let me tell you about this person named Jesus who died on a cross for your sins and mine. And he has made me a part of his vine. And now I get to have eternal life. And my life is full of life. The things that you so desperately seek, the person who hasn't yet found Jesus, sometimes we can forget, they are searching for the answer, these critical answers. And the more that Jesus produces in me, and the more that I look like Jesus, the more I can let my life speak the truth. But the words still speak this, that Jesus is the vine and the source of life. And we get to point people to that. But when we think about pruning, in the idea of Jesus coming back, it's so this, that our lives will bear more fruit. And that as we walk around, people will see that difference, and that we can live life to the fullest. God knows what needs to get cut out of our life so we can be more intimate with the branch, but also that our life will bear more fruit. So he cuts out things that need to go. Here's a really cool line from N.T. Wright. It says, it's an intimate process. The gardener is never closer to the vine, taking more thought over its long-term health and productivity than when he has the knife in his hand. When you feel that you're in a trial of suffering, because pruning is a suffering, know that there is no time where the gardener is closer to you, taking special care of you. He sees you because he loves you. And he wants to build into your life and see you thrive. And the more that we get pruned, the more that we are forced into this place of growth, the more that God's desiring for us to be intimate with him. Just to turn and go, Jesus, I need more time with you. That's what he's looking for. Here's something that I think of. My dad, when he was in university, he struggled with social anxiety. Real bad. Really, really badly. So much so that he felt called to go into ministry, but he really struggled to be in front of people. So every day before he got up to go do his classes and go do his day, he would wake up at 5 and he would spend hours in the presence of the Lord just to have the confidence to get up and go and be around people because he was so insecure. Day in and day out, my dad did that. Years of doing that before he finally felt like he had the confidence to stand before people, and that battle was won. But the cool thing was this, that my dad overcame his social anxiety. How? It was actually by remaining in Jesus. He knew that's where he would get the strength from. He knew that's where it was. But the cool thing was, when my dad actually got over his social anxiety, the meeting time in the morning did not leave. The 5 o'clock wake up to spend time with God did not go, because for him, the prize and the reward was his presence. Just the intimacy with the Father. He cut time out of his life to spend there. And the second is the presence. The present that we get is his presence. Jesus says that he is the vine and we are the branches. We don't have to think about being a branch. All we have to do is remain in the vine. And as he begins to prune us and grow us and reproduce fruit, the main thing we need to keep thinking about is remaining in the vine. And I just want to really challenge all of us, those who are listening in, how much time do you spend just you and the Lord? I think about quiet time, the secret place. What we do in secret, I think, is important. But how that's a special time where it's just, if you're ever in a room by yourself, we know that we are never alone. What are we doing with that time? You know, are we getting intimate with Jesus? Or what are we doing? Are you finding that your life is lacking the fruit of the Spirit? My question is that again. How much time are you spending with Jesus? That's what I got. Let's go to listening prayer, guys. Heavenly Father, I thank you that we now get to come before you and we get to do listening prayer to the God of all. Jesus, I pray right now you would speak to us. Lord, where are you right now? If people are going through a season of pruning, can you just reveal to us where you're standing with us? Lord, is there something in my life I need to lay before you? Jesus, would you even reveal how I can spend more time with you? Is there, if there's something, I would love that you would encourage our hearts, Jesus. When do you want us to spend more time with you? Lord, I thank you for who you are. Thank you that we have the opportunity to continually seek you. I pray for each one who listened in today, Jesus, that they would just chase the intimacy with you, that we wouldn't seek to do more, but we would seek more to be in your presence, and that we would desire to dwell in the secret place. Thank you, Lord, that you are there, that you are the branch, that you are the vine that gives us the source of life, and that we are never left alone, and that you desire to prune us so that our life will actually produce stuff that matters. In your name we pray.